Hello, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome to our Leaders Coaching for the Bible study series, Different, Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This is study number 5, which is entitled A Different Wisdom. Colossians study number 5 is based on Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, which says this, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." Again, as with all of these studies, I recommend that you, as much as you can, involve people. In fact, you may even want to ask someone to lead the whole study the following week. Just give them the next study, study number 6. And which is a different salvation, and ask them, hey, Fred, Betty, Jill, John, whatever your name is, can you lead the study next week? Here's the notes, and it's up to you. Ball's in your court. I'll just be a participant. See how you go. This is a part of your job, I would think, to train up new leaders. So tonight, or this morning, or this afternoon, whenever you're meeting, I always recommend that you just start informally. Start with some kind of refreshments, and then from there, move into a different zone, whether you move from a room or sit down at a table, whatever it is, that there's a different atmosphere created. And in that atmosphere, you can ask an icebreaker question, just so the group gets to know each other a bit better. The question could be, if you could go anywhere in the world for any amount of time, where would you go and how long would you stay? See what the group says. And then, yeah, it's just an insight. You may also want to do what I generally recommend, and that is ask 2 questions. What are you thankful for? And what would you like prayer for? Those 2 questions give you tremendous insight into where people are at. And as you ask those 2 questions, I recommend that you note down what people say they're thankful for and what people request prayer for. And then at the end of the night, remind people of the prayer requests, and then invite people to pray for one of the prayer requests that were shared through the night. All right, a different wisdom. Again, encouraging you to have people to read the paragraphs or the questions, but it says this, "The Apostle Paul held grave concerns for the Colossians. To counter the dangerously false teaching from the Gnostics, the imprisoned apostle wrote 2 epistles intended for the Colossians. The first was the epistle to the Ephesians. They were to exchange their epistle with the one written to the Colossians. The 2 epistles are complementary. Both are about Christ's relationship to his church." So just a note there for you to be aware of. Ephesians emphasizes the body of Christ. Colossians emphasizes the head of the body, that is Christ. Question number 1, note Colossians chapter 2 verses 1 to 2. Circle the correct answer. When confronted with the news that the Colossian church was being infiltrated by Gnostics, even though the Apostle Paul was in prison, Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2 says this, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ." So there's the scripture. Paul is confronted with the news that the Gnostics are infiltrating the Colossian church. He's in prison. He can't go there. He physically can't be there to correct it. So select the best option. Option A, he knew that there was nothing he could do about it. B, he didn't want to create an unnecessary confrontation. Option C, he chose to address the dangerous teachings head on by writing his epistles to the Colossians and the Ephesians. D, he struggled and prayed earnestly for them to the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. E, he did both C and D. And hopefully, everyone will see that he did both C and D. And the point there is that he was confronted with a problem. So what did he do? Did he just throw his hands in the air and go, c'est la vie? Did he just throw his hands in the air and go, well, all I can do is pray? And the answer really often is that it's not quite true that all you can do is pray. You can pray and do something. If you're a parent, it might be that you pray and send an email to your wayward child, just letting them know that you love them, you care for them, you're thinking of them. You maintain that fellowship. It could be something like that. So that might be a point of discussion as well. Is it ever true that all we can do is pray? Now, sometimes it might be. Sometimes there are actually some other things we can do as well as pray. Now, that should do a couple of things. Firstly, it should not underestimate the power of prayer. And secondly, it should not say that, well, if there's nothing we can do, I suppose we can pray, as if we are underestimating prayer. But it should also help people to see that there may always be something else you can do to support your cause. Question two, based on Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, which says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. As we seek to know and be in Christ's presence, what else might we experience? Well, what we might experience is a hunger for wisdom and knowledge that can ultimately be found in Christ, because in him are found the treasures of wisdom, the treasures of knowledge. So as we seek Christ, as we seek to be with Christ, to be in his presence, to worship him, we may find that we become even hungrier for knowledge and wisdom. Question three, what kind of arguments was the apostle concerned with which might have led to the Colossians being deluded or deceived? And these are different translations. Deluded is the ESV, which is my default translation. Or deceived, the New English Translation, again an excellent translation. Or led off on some wild goose chase, which is the Message paraphrase. Or beguiled, which is the King James Version. So, it's based on Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. Now, this is the problem with plausible arguments. And some of the other translations that people may have, the King James renders that enticing. The New English Translation renders it arguments that sound reasonable, which is what plausible is. And that's the problem, that when you're dealing with ideas that, well, that sounds reasonable, that sounds plausible, that sounds enticing, it can be very tricky to recognize why they are false. Question four, how else can we guard against such dangerous but yet non-dangerous sounding arguments? All right, so this is leading on from that question. Hopefully the discussions includes things like this. Increase your familiarity with God's word. Seek wise counsel from a trusted source. Pray, ask God for guidance and wisdom. And this word, discernment. Now, these false teachers sounded like they were Christians. Their message on the surface of it sounded like it was biblical. Their argument for their, what we might call, brand of Christianity sounded reasonable, plausible, enticing, and were persuasive but thoroughly deceptive arguments. And that's coming straight from the Amplified Bible. They spoke about hidden wisdom that required more than Christ to achieve. But Paul tells the Colossians that the hidden wisdom, which is one of the expressions of the Gnostics, is only found in Christ, not in addition to Christ. This, of course, doesn't mean that we can't learn anything from anyone other than Christ. After all, he gifts teachers to teach. But it does mean we need to develop our, and here's that word, discernment skills. So how might we understand discernment? I frequently cite Charles Spurgeon, who said, discernment is not just the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. It's the ability to distinguish between right and nearly right. And that's where discernment comes in, nearly right. 1 degree off or 1% wrong can be entirely wrong. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul's fatherly words to the Colossians should give any parent concerned about their wayward children both a strategy and cause for hope. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, "For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." So imagine Paul is hearing of the Colossians being deluded, enticed, and led away by this false teaching of the Gnostics that they needed to add something to Christ. Christ was not sufficient. He was not enough. There was wisdom to be found outside of Christ. Well, he may well write to the Colossians with a deep anger that they had succumbed to this false teaching. But he didn't. And this is a strategy for parents, not to create a problem where there is no problem, or to create a bigger problem where there might be a problem. In other words, don't let your anger get in the way of your love for your child. So, question 5, how are Paul's words to the Colossians in Colossians 2:5 similar to how the father of the prodigal is presented, and what strategy and hope might this give the believing parent of a wayward or distant child? Well, Paul didn't condemn them for entertaining the false doctrine of the Gnostics. Actually, he expressed love for them, and he expressed a confidence in the Colossians' commitment to Christ, all the while praying earnestly for them. This is great wisdom for parents. I hope your study goes well. Break out those prayer requests, share them around as you close, and then go around the room starting on your left, and then finish with yourself praying and perhaps mopping up any unprayed prayer requests. God bless you.